Good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you. Welcome to another beautiful Sabbath day. I'd like to welcome those that are listening in by way of phone and those that are visiting with us today. Glad to have you. Hope the week has been good for all of us and had some nice weather God has blessed us with, and as was mentioned in the opening prayer, we give thanks to God for another beautiful Sabbath. During their long sojourn out of Egypt, the Israelites lost track of time. They even forgot which day was the Sabbath. God had to show Israel when his year began so they could observe his holy days. So let's turn to Exodus. Exodus chapter 12. We will read verses 1 and 2 of Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year." So this was a time when God had to remind the Israelites because they had forgotten. Time, days under the taskmasters of Egypt, which celebrated no days except the time that they wanted to celebrate. So it's common for all of us, because sometimes we forget what day of the week it is. Had people say, "Is today Monday?" No, today is not Monday. Today is Thursday, or so forth. So we forget, so it's not uncommon. So Israel, calling out of Egypt, symbolizes God calling us out of this society. So the sermon title today, "Do You See Your Calling?" Now my purpose is to show you three reasons why you were called. Number one, why you were called. Number two, what were you called into? Number three, what is our responsibility? Turn to Genesis chapter 12. We will read verses 1 through 3. Genesis chapter 12. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Verse 2, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who curse you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So we are, you and I, are enjoying this promise that God made to Abraham in this country now. This is the United States, one of the greatest nation, most powerful nation on the earth today. We are and have been and blessed in this. So it seems that God was working with Abraham, or Abram, at that time, preparing him for his calling by guiding him in his thinking. I don't know how long the conversation was, but and how he approached Abram, I don't know. But he said they had a conversation. So let's turn to Joshua, the book of Joshua, chapter 24. We will read verses 1 through 3. Joshua chapter 24, verse 1. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for the heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers included Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac." So all indications here from these verses tell us that Abraham was not converted during the time of Genesis chapter 12. And I say this because Joshua just, in his comments here, the family served pagan gods in that particular city, country. They lived in a pagan society. A little town or country or village or whatever there was where Abraham was born, raised up, was Ur. U-R, it's pronounced. And they served the moon god, Nana. Was what they based their god on. It was a moon god. And this was near the country of Iraq. My daughter-in-law is an ex-Marine, and she served in and during the Iraq War. So I was chatting with her a couple of weeks ago, and the little town of Ur, she was familiar with that because she said Saddam Hussein parked a lot of his jets on the border of Iraq and that little country so that the United States doing the bombing of that country would not destroy his jets. But I asked her about the other side of the river that was mentioned in Joshua, but she wasn't familiar with that. She thought maybe that it could have been the river of Euphrates. She wasn't sure. So looking at this pattern that I just mentioned, Abraham being called out of a pagan society, we certainly can apply this in an analogy to us. So we have been called out of a pagan society. We don't do the things we used to do. We don't serve the gods that we used to do, because we have God's truth. And we were not converted. We served other gods, all of the pagan holidays that the world serves today. We did those things. But we heeded God's call, just as Abraham did. And God has blessed us just as he has blessed Abraham. And he told Abraham to move from across the river to a different location, that he would show him the place where he would take him to. And we too must appreciate the calling that God has called us to. But one thing that we can be very appreciative of, brethren, is that God does the calling. We don't have anything to do with that. It's God that calls. So let's turn to John chapter 6, verses that we are familiar with. John chapter 6, we will read verse 44 and 45. And there's a lot of people in our society today that still don't realize the words that Christ spoke in John chapter 6. We see all of these altar calls and everything that these mega churches have, and they're calling people up and give your heart to God. They can't change that person. They haven't been called. God does the calling. John chapter 6, verse 44 and 45. Jesus said, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." So we see that man cannot find God. Only God can initiate a calling. Jesus plainly says, "No man can come to me unless the Father draws him." And that's the word of God. Mankind has been deceived by the god of this world, Satan. We read about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Mankind being deceived, where would he begin to look for God? How would he develop a relationship with God? What would his purpose be? What hope would he have? We see, brethren, that mankind is hopeless in this regard. All he can do on his own is to follow the god of this world, Satan, in developing a society filled with idols, false religion, with false doctrines, and false ways of life. But God said, "I will do the calling. I will call those this time that can and will walk in my ways and keep my laws." So my question to everyone today is this. Do we see our calling? Do we understand why God called you? Why did he choose you out of the millions that's walking on the streets in these large cities and billions of people? He chose you. Do you see your calling? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We will read verse 26 to 31. So do you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called? But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became... for us, wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Verse 31, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Let's continue by turning to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, read verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So these verses show us that God chose us according to his good pleasure, according to his love, which he had for us before the creation of the world. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We will read verse 6 through 8. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. In verse 7, the Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than other people, for you were less in all people. Verse 8, but because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep his oath, which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage and the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So we know that this passage of scripture here was talking to the children of Israel. But we are the children of Israel, the descendants. So it's for us today. Let's place ourselves in the picture of verse 8. God has called us out of the world with a mighty hand and redeemed us with the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, from the house of bondage. See, we were under a house of bondage in sin. And there was no relief. God has chosen to call us out of that part of society. Satan, the king of this world, has dominated, the thoughts and movements of men, causing them to do terrible things. And as you, Mr. Jewell mentioned it in his sermon, things that are happening now is just unbelievable. The mindset of this society. What's happening to the society that we live in now? It's terrible out there, brother. You know that. I know that. But this is the picture. We don't know for sure if God necessarily chose us as individuals before the foundation of the world. But what we do know is God decided that he would have a church, a group of people impregnated by the Holy Spirit, a unique family of his who would be in the image of him and walk in his ways. God chose a smaller group to work with out of the billions on the face of this earth. He chose a small group. We are this small group. And what are their responsibilities? The small group are those whom God the Father has called and placed in his church, the body of Christ, to do a work. And this work will continue until the return of Christ. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. We'll read favorite scripture that I always keep in mind. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That is a promise that God will keep. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 30, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You see, brethren, we are in him. Here is the key to understanding this. It all began when he gave us life, that spiritual life of our calling. We would not have accomplished anything. We would not even know anything about the Sabbath. We would not even know anything about God's holy days But we were in him. We were called out of this world. He had given us the knowledge, led us to repentance, and impressed on us the importance of doing what he revealed in our minds through the scriptures and do the work of God. God is with us through this entire process of our calling. What we have spiritually is only because God has given it to us. Being of him, we are connected to the church, the body of Christ. The members of the church of God are Christ's body. And God has placed each one of us just where he wants us to be in the body of Christ. All of our jobs and responsibilities that we have been given, will be given, is what God desires. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is just a small amount of doing the work. We have been called into the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. Let's drop down to verse 26. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. The members God has called and placed in his church are in the body of Christ, and he has placed each one of us where he wants us to be to do the job. So I asked again the question, do we see our calling? Do we know what our job is? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Again, reading in verse 4. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is above all, and being in him, we are connected to the church, the body of Christ. The members of the church of God are Christ's body. God has placed each one of us just where he wants us to be in this body. First Corinthians continue now in verse 7. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 7. First Verse 7, Ephesians chapter 4. But each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Verse 11. Drop down to verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Why did he do this? Well, this is the assignment here, brethren, beginning in verse 12. For the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity and of the faith, and for the knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body is joined, knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and for edifying of itself in love. So what is the message here that Apostle Paul is sending to the church, the body of Christ? Ephesians chapter 1. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22 and 23. And he put all things under his feet. He gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Let's continue in Colossians chapter 1. Begin reading in verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. For the thrones, the dominions, the principalities, the powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now, using our physical bodies as an analogy here, as you know, the physical body is controlled by the head. Christ is the head of the church, a spiritual organism. And we, as the spiritual organism, must stay connected to the head. Your body, my body, cannot function properly without the head. Now, you have heard many times in the medical field where a doctor would announce the patient being brain dead. Now, when that happens, the body can no longer function because the head was the main housing for the brain. So the brain tells the body it's located in the head, but the head tells the body what to do. You know, a song leader get up here and he'll tell you what page to turn to in the hymn. That has to go through the brain. If it didn't go through the brain, you sit there all day. You wouldn't do anything. The brain controls the body. Christ, the head of the church, controls the spiritual part of the body. So when we look at the church, brethren, the body of Christ, we see the importance of staying connected with the members and also with the body of Christ. Now, to further this understanding, please turn to John chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Christ, the true vine, those that have been called into the church, the body of Christ, are the branches. We are the branches connected to the vine. The vine dresser is God, the keeper of the vineyard. The keeper of the vineyard prunes the branches that they are that they will bear more fruit. Verse 3 of John chapter 15 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. The word of God can and will, brethren, if we stay connected to the vine. It will cleanse us. Now, let's hold your places there and let's go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9. Psalmist says, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word? Verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So the psalmist knew the cleansing and power take place through God's word. That is why God wants us to stay connected to the church by being branches on the vine. Now, let's continue back to John chapter 15, continue in verse 4. John chapter 15, verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. And we've seen people in the future just go off to all different directions thinking that they can continue a Christian life. You can't do that. You can't do that, brethren, on your own. You have to stay connected. This is what the Scripture says. I believe what the Scripture said. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire. They are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Now, that verse 7, good to make a little notation there, because what the verse said, just read, we should make a little notation there that says according to God's will. And we can ask God to do something, and he may not ask in your prayer right then, though he hasn't forgot it, but it may not be his will to do that at that very moment. He will do that. It is God's desire that we stay connected to the vine, his Son Jesus Christ, to bear fruit. Now Christ speaks of four kinds of branches. Those that bear no fruit, those that bear fruit, those that bear more fruit, and those that bear much fruit. Well, there's four different types of branches here. See, brethren, being called into the body of Christ, the church, not bearing fruit would not be good. See this? John 15 and part of verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. But we don't want to be withered. We can't bear, a withered branch cannot bear fruit. So it is very clear from Scripture that those that are called into the church of God, the body of Christ, must bear fruit to stay connected to the vine. Because if we don't, we begin to wither. Then the pruners come by, which is God, and he prunes. And when those of you that has been connected with any, even a flower, even a vine of any type, you prune that vine, it bleeds a little bit. It hurts a little bit. God comes along and prune us. We're going to hurt a little bit, but that's okay. We needed that. God is pruning us so we can bear more fruit. What kind of fruit are we to bear? Please turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Verse 14. Titus says, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet the urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So we see from these words, Titus is telling us what to do. Needs to stay connected and bearing fruit. Those urgent needs that he's talking about, we read those in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ, How do we edify the body of Christ, the church? The word edify means to build, to construct, to instruct, and to improve spiritually. Christ said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. How is God's church progressing? How is God building his church? It's through the ones that he has called to do the work. What is the work? We read that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. So as we close down, brethren, something to remember. The analogy here is this. If we are to bear fruit, we will be pruned. The vine dresser, who is God the Father, will prune the branch that it bear more fruit, more fruit. That means the pruning will take place with all of us at some point. We will be trimmed and pruned, but we must stay connected. Do you see your calling, brother? This is God's desire that all he has called, he loves. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. This is why God has called us into his church. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So those who have been called in the church of God, the body of Christ, what is our responsibility? Our responsibility is to do the work that we have been called to do. And we can do this when we work together, when we pray together, when we suffer together, when we are examples of one another together. Last but not least, when we love together. If we do this, brethren, we will fulfill the final scripture of the sermon today. We go back to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Hope we all have a happy Sabbath.